My journey to the hellfire was detailed. Out of hundreds of Muslims who attacked me, now get this, only one took his time to talk and explain things to me and even apologize on behalf of the other Muslims. And for that, I am eternally grateful. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace, welcome to the Deen Show. I got our guests flying in all the way from Dallas, Sheikh Abdullah. How are you, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah, I'm good. How you doing?
How you been?
Alhamdulillah, I'm blessed.
We met, how long, several years back?
Man, yeah, that was probably like in 2010, probably, yeah.
You're keeping up, huh?
I'm trying, man.
Yeah, mashallah.
I'm trying to be like Eddie.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So now you accepted Islam 20 years ago, correct?
Roughly, yeah, like 1997.
Let's start with that. Why'd you accept Islam?
I mean, you know, primarily, I mean, as many of us have, we've had a past, and that past, you don't, you know, it's been a trial and it's been a means for us to think about life. And, you know, I used to be heavily into hip hop, heavily into it. And there were some people we used to battle back in the days. And, you know, battle is basically, we'd say poetry about one another and speak about one another. And sometimes it could get kind of, it get kind of violent. As many of the youth know nowadays, battling is kind of coming back in the picture.
It's coming back?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely. it's no music, but they're going at each other. But it's violent talk, and it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of bragging and talking about what they'll do to each other and what they've done, et cetera. Kind of similar to the Jahiliyyah of Islam, you know.
Yeah. So you used to do that. You used to battle back and forth.
Yeah, I used to do that.
That's kind of like what got Eminem big, right?
Definitely, like on 8 Mile and stuff like that. Eminem and a lot of these, what you call MCs, you know, masters of ceremony. That was a trait. You have to be able to control, hold your own.
You were really good at that.
Alhamdulillah, you know, I kind of held my own. I can say that, you know. But that's kind of what I used to do. And the ones that I used to battle were Muslim. Mm-hmm. But when I knew Islam, all I knew was the Nation of Islam, right? So when I would talk to them, it was based on that premise, being that, okay, so y'all worship, y'all say that there's a God, you know, and his name is so and so. You're like, no. That's not the Islam we represent. We represent Sunni Islam. So it led on to more communication, even though they were kind of somewhat my enemies, especially when it came to the microphone. But other than that,
who are your enemies?
The ones that called me to Islam. Because when we go to the club or when we, you know, be in that element, it was like, okay, we're going to battle each other. So one time we were in a gathering, and it was kind of a gathering that, you know, may Allah, you know, preserve us and forgive us, but. They started talking about Islam again, and we were really into martial law, New World Order, Illuminati, you know, the year 2000, etc. So I asked them about, okay, so what are you going to do when the Big Brother plan, you know, the Big Brother plan is like the microchip is going to be injected to people. And so they said it's all in the hands of Allah, and that's what sparked it, man. That's what really just said, okay, Allah. And that's just, I started asking a lot of questions. And what attracted me, Eddie, really was Tawheed, you know, the oneness of God, you know, the oneness of God and exemplifying that and showing that in your life and everything that you do, from saying inshallah to praying 5 times a day to not drinking to being nice to your mother that's, you know, maybe very envious towards you and not nice towards you because you're trying to, you know, come into being faithful to other than their religion. So that was very intriguing to me, man. And you know, the more they talked about it, I remember they kept saying inshallah, inshallah, and I was like, what's that shah, 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 shah stuff y'all saying? So they said, now that's inshallah. And just from them explaining inshallah, I was like, okay, this is something that's real. I mean, it's not superficial. It's something that's real, and I'm really feeling it. But as they were explaining it to me, I was showing that it was okay from a, like a, you know, like what we call a cipher, just vibing with one another, you know, just talking and kind of going in the metaphysical. But I wasn't showing that I was really, you know, this was really piercing my heart, and it was a problem for me, because that would mean I'd have to accept what they're on. And we used to battle each other. So it was like, yo, you following them now. So I had one question. I remember that question was, okay. And I thought this question was just going to end. It was going to dead it. And it was, okay, what do y'all think about Jesus? Because mind y'all was a Christian. And they said, no, you can't be a Muslim unless you believe in Jesus. And that caused a problem for me. Because I said, okay, this may be something that is true. But I said, how come I didn't know about this before? How come I, you know, I've known them for a while. I never knew about this Islam thing. All I knew was, you know, Malcolm X. That's all I knew. And it was primarily focused towards the African-American demographic. And they said, no, it's for everyone. We're Sunni Muslims. And Sunni means following Muhammad. So I'm like, okay, follow Muhammad? They're like, no. Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was a prophet. Comes in chronological order. In conclusion, it was the Tawheed. It was the oneness of God and showing gratitude in every aspect of your life to the best of your ability is what attracted me. That's really what attracted me.
Were you a practicing Christian or just be you were just like, you know, your parents are Christian and you just kind of like went to church on Sundays, or you weren't connected much at all to the Bible or church, or what was your status as far as where would you rate yourself as a Christian?
Man, probably about a 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't a practicing Christian. I didn't have dreams and aspirations of becoming a deacon or anything like that. It was more of just I was a mainstream. I said I was Christian. I go to the church every now and then if I felt bad on Saturday night and go Sunday morning. If my mom really wanted me to go, you know, I would go. But I wasn't someone that would read the Bible voluntarily on a weekly basis.
Did you know the creed very well?
Yes, I knew mainstream the creed very, I won't say very, very well. But I understood the basics of it, being that there was a Trinity and, you know, that there may be different sects of it, that there are some consider Jesus as God and some don't consider him as, you know, as God, but he may be the Son of God. You know, I was well familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you said that now what really caught your attention, what really had you moving towards Islam was the Tawheed. That's translated, we could translate it as pure monotheism. How would you translate that? Pure monotheism?
Definitely, that's it, yeah. Pure monotheism. And it's good that you mentioned pure monotheism, because what we may consider in other faces is monotheism, but in actuality, it's directing all forms of worship, even when it comes to intercession, which is, I think, the demarcating factor, you know, between Islam and everything else, is that, you know, it goes directly to God, to mm-hmm. the creator of the heavens and the earth.
What if some of our Christian brothers and sisters in humanity, they say, okay, no, we believe in one God too. We just pray because, you know, the Bible tells us that no one comes to the Father except through me, meaning Jesus. So we just say in Jesus' name, right? But we right. still believe in one God.
I mean, that's a great question. Yeah, and the thing is, no one comes to the Father except through me, but how is that manifested through me, right? We say the same thing. No one goes to Allah except through the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace and blessings be upon him. Sunnah meaning way, his approvals and things that he did, whether it's obligatory or even recommended. But that is what we believe is the means to obtaining God's love and forgiveness, as Allah mentions in the Quran. You know, so we say yes to that, but how that's manifested and how that's acted out is definitely true, and that's where the problem or the difference may lie. So we believe in Jesus, and no one got to Allah except through Jesus at that time, but it wasn't through worshiping him. And when we say doing things in Jesus's name, we have to be fair. You know, when we speak to a Christian, we have to be fair on how we question them or how we have our dialogue with them. So when we say, okay, in Jesus' name, what do you mean by in Jesus's name? Some of them may not even be able to articulate that. And to be fair, Muslims may not be able to articulate Bismillah in the name of Allah, and how that goes back to our creed and how it's a statement of our creed and how that statement in of itself is totally different than any other creed. So in Jesus' name, does it mean that in the name of Jesus, you are indirectly interceding with his name and with what he's done and quote unquote believing that he sacrificed himself in the blood of Jesus? That's where it could be different for the Muslims. And we say Muslims, no, we don't believe that. But we say in that Jesus, being that he's a prophet in and of himself, we believe that. But in the name of something is seeking blessings and actions of who you are saying in the name of. So that's why we say in the name of Allah.
So you're having these hip hop battles. Islam is coming up.
Yeah.
And now you like the, you know, the teachings of Islam that to submit your will only to God, pure monotheism. What happens next?
Yeah, man. I the first time that they met with me, I was like, man, I'm not going to, you know. Because one of them asked me, okay, what do you think about it? I was like, it's cool. You know, it's all right. You know, because I was there for another purpose, but I said, it's all right. You know.
You're there to win a battle.
Well, it wasn't a battle. It was something else. It was a meeting, yeah. So.
Was there any prize money for these battles? Were people getting paid? Or was it just a status that you, like, grow up in ranks?
It was primarily the status. Yeah. It was primarily the status. Because it was right next to a club. So when people would line up for at the club, they would see that there's the latest, you know, music coming out, the latest instrumentals. And, you know, it was just a different vibe because a lot of them from the East Coast.
Yeah. So, okay. So now you're there and you're there for whatever reason. What happens next?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I went home and I started asking questions. I started asking my mom questions about God. I'll never forget when I asked her, about God, you know, she got so happy, she called her friends over to the house, and I didn't know what was going on, Eddie. I had no idea. So next thing you know, it's about four or five friends coming over. She called me to the living room. She says, okay, gather hands. We gathered our hands together, and then they started praying, and I'm just like, I'm just obeying my mom. I'm trying to do the best that I can, right? Yeah. And, you know, some of them started jumping. And
Jumping,
yeah.
Like jumping jacks?
Kind of like jumping jacks, but without the swing, because they're holding hands, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So it started speaking a language, like, you know, the language which they call tongues.
Oh,
like,
you familiar with tongues? Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, so tongues is basically like the spirit, quote unquote, comes into you, the ruach, right? Comes into you, and you say a language that's not understood. So that's what started happening. And I'm used to that because I see my mom do it. She, you know, she's waking up and doing her tahajjud version. I mean, until this day, you know, it's like 3 a.m. She's on the edge of the bed, hands clasped together, and she's doing the tongues. She started off the English, but when you get into it, it's like euphoric, right? You're doing the tongues. So they were doing that. Some of them fell down. You know, they're sweating and things of that nature. And then after that, they all hugged me and said, congratulations, you are born again. So I knew what born again was, but to be fair, I didn't know if I was supposed to feel it right then, if I had to wait to go and get back. I didn't know what it was. So I just didn't feel, and I was searching for that feeling, you know, and praying to God if this is the right way, but I just couldn't feel it. So I kept asking my mom questions, and what I did is I also went around to different mosques, and this was a test for me. I go around different mosques, and all I asked about was the creed. Because one thing that I'm thankful to Allah for, you know, is that I understood that religion was based on its creed, not the actions of man.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I understood as a non-Muslim. And I went around the mosque, and the thing that really intrigued me was that all of them said the same thing when it came to the creed. They all said, look, we worship Allah and no one else. We worship Him by Himself. And they started mentioning different aspects of worship, which I didn't even think was an aspect of worship, but it was a manifestation of worship in Islam. And that was deep to me also, because it showed more greatness to God, right? So with that, I just said, you know what? This may be something that is true. And I remember one imam from Libya, may Allah preserve him, man, mashallah. You know, when I went to ask about Islam, I had a, just looking like I was, you know, in that life or whatever. And he said, brother, you can be better than me. It doesn't matter. Black, white, yellow, green, it doesn't matter. It's all about your fear of Allah. And he pointed to his heart. And then he showed me how to make wudu, man. He went in the back and he showed me how to make. And, you know, mind you, the imam of the masjid is white thobe on, looked fairly elderly. I'm coming, you know, I had gold teeth in my mouth, and I'm, you know, I'm over there. And he shows me how to make wudu.
You're not Muslim yet?
I'm not Muslim.
Yeah.
And this is right around the area where we used to hang out or whatever. So, you know, he goes in. I'm thinking that this is the priest. He's the leader.
Yeah.
And he's showing me how to make wudu, and he makes wudu. And he, you know, he was partially bald, and so his hair was all over the place after he was done making wudu. And I'm like, man, he took the time out to come and show me this act, you know, washing his feet and warming his. I said, man, that's humble. And that really humbled me. And I said, man, that's really, it made me feel that Islam is a real universal religion, and there's no hierarchy except with knowledge and fear of Allah. And that's what he said when he said, you could be better than me, in front of his congregation. He's like, you could be better than me. It doesn't matter. That's what really intrigued me. And then from then, I went to the mosque by my house, and then I embraced Islam. And it was, mashallah, it was amongst a whole bunch of Jamaat al-Tabligh brothers, the brothers that, you know, called.
How long after this wudu incident?
Man, this was about a week.
A week?
Because within that week, this is like giving you snapshots, man. Within that week, I went to what was called a Kappa beach party.
Yeah.
And that was, I used to hang out with some guys, you know, every now and then. And the Kappa beach party is kind of like, it's something that happens in Atlanta. I don't want to say the name of it, but it's kind of like a big
fraternity? Kappa beach, what is it?
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's where you go to the beach and you stay the night at the beach for maybe one or two nights.
Yeah.
And you just, it's kind of like obey your thirst, you know what I mean? So
obey your thirst equals like obey your desires.
Yeah, obey your desires, exactly. So, you know, when I went there, I was just said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just look at how people are acting and look and see, is just like, is this what life is really about? Like, after this, then what? So when I went there, you know, the friends would be like, hey, man, we're about to go here, we're about to go there. So I saw, nah, man, I just want to walk on the seawall. The seawall's in Galveston, where it, like, borders the sea. So I just walk, and I just started thinking. And then I looked around, and I saw people half-dressed. I saw people trying to get their Mac on. You know, guys trying to talk to girls and, you know, say, come on up with us. And people playing music and acting crazy. I'm like, is this really what life is about? Is this really what matters? Mm-hmm. Will this be beneficial for me? And then from there, I said, man, I got to make a choice. I really got to make a choice, man, because life is going to end.
How old were you at that time?
Man, I was 20.
You're very young.
I was 20 years old. Yeah, I was 20. And then from there, I said, man, I have to do something about this. This knowledge that I have, it was a tightness in my chest, man. SubhanAllah, just how Allah mentions in the Quran. It was a tight feeling that I had in my chest. So then I said, I'm just going to go and do it. So I went to the mosque near my house. And
you had enough now. You knew what you needed to know.
I knew what I needed. Yes. Yes. Because the oneness of God was firm. I already had that. I think the fitrah was, mashallah, it wasn't tampered that much, and Allah knows best, you know. But I said, no, I believe in a creator, and no one can judge me, and he's the only one that I go to. That's what I've always felt, you know. But
you didn't feel that with what you had at home?
I didn't feel that. Yeah, I didn't feel that.
With your mom and Christianity?
Right. I didn't feel that because I had a problem with going to someone that they believe died to ask him for godlike characteristics. That was a problem for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just difficult for me to grasp and understand. So when I, you know, left that Cabo Beach party about a week after, I said, you know, I'm going to do this, man. I went to the mosque near my house, and then I went to embrace Islam. And, you know, by the permission of Allah, it was a lot of brothers there, and they embraced me, and that kind of helped the situation also. And from there, that was it. It was just my goal. My goal primarily for me, you know, a lot of converts may be social or educational, but me, it was primarily educational. Yeah. Now that I understood that this was true and I firmly believed it, I was like, man, I want to learn more about it.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that it's just the creed. It's the creed that now you're not attacking Christianity or Christians. Or usually you'll see when people, they go towards, you know, another way of life, they choose, and hey, it's free country, free choice. Hey, it's on them, you know. Mm-hmm. God will judge them at the end in the next life. But you see them coming hard. You know, right, attacking, yeah. You know, yeah. Being really belligerent and going out of their way, you know, to attack Islam. But you don't see them attack the creed. We're talking about the creed. It just, for us, you know, we don't want to worship Jesus. We want to worship who Jesus worshiped. Fair, right? Leave it at that. And that's what you wanted to do. We're not over here attacking Christianity and, you know, or Christians, but we're just saying just pure monotheism.
Right. And that's such a good point you mentioned, because, you know, separating the act from the person that does the act is very important, and it's an Islamic principle. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, "Wala tasubbu alladhina yad'una min duni Allah, fa yasubbullaha adwan bighayri ilm." He says, "And do not curse the people that call to other than Allah, for they will speak against Allah or curse Allah without knowledge."
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great principle that we learned, you know, subhanAllah, being that it's called closing the doors to the pathways, saddadharar. You're closing the doors to pathways that could lead to something that's not beneficial to them or even to Muslims. So when you curse that person because they're Christian, or you say that they're animals, you say that they're khinzir or pigs or things of that nature, what benefit is it going to bring? And I think that's what this verse and many other verses, especially in the seerah, you know, life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it brings forth that light, you know, sheds light on that you have to be wise and understand the act in and of itself from an Islamic principle is something that's not praised, but we don't curse people and speak down upon them and belittle them.
Well, that is a really important point, and let's touch upon that, and we'll get back to your story, because recently we got an email from someone who was reaching out, and he had made a comment on one of the videos that we had posted about a Russian Jewish lady who ended up accepting Islam. Mm. And he had said something about, "I'm happy for her as I am for the thousands and millions of others finding solace in Islam." However, when I commented on the video, he's saying, and to be honest, my comment was, he's admitting it was somewhat provoking, but he says that he does that with all religions. He said, "I said that out of nearly 3,000 gods out there being worshipped by today's world population, I hope that this one in particular is right for you." Mm-hmm. And then he says, "That's all." Now, what followed my comment was a mirage of negativity. That's the only way I can explain it. I was called all sorts of names, including animal. There were verses quoted at me. My journey to the hellfire was detailed. Out of hundreds of Muslims who attacked me, now get this, only one took his time to talk and explain things to me and even apologize on behalf of the other Muslims. And for that, I am eternally grateful. Mm. See, this touched his heart. And I will never forget the guy. Now, I've been following you so this is someone who's coming, obviously, for some reason, he's been guided here, right? Watching, observing. So he's talking about, because of this, he unfollowed us on Facebook. And it just basically, it's a long email to summarize in short. He was attacked. He was insulted. Someone stepped up. So out of like 10 people who insulted him. There was more, but out of 10, one came forward and, you know, and did it the right way and explained things to him and tried to reason with, try to give him, you know, you know, the real essence of Islam, et cetera, et cetera. But then he was very disheartened at how he was name called and ridiculed and whatnot. This is not the way Muslims should be acting. A lot of times I want to give the benefit of all, because I know there's a lot of trolls out there. I know there's people out there paid, you know, to attack and, you know, behind keyboards. Yeah. Because a true practicing Muslim doesn't use foul language like that at anybody, doesn't do opposite to what the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, you know, our example and things that are displeasing to the Almighty, to the Creator. This is not the way. If you're trying to exemplify the best of manners and character, you're actually earning, you know, the anger of Allah. You're doing the opposite of that. That's not what you should be doing. And you're hindering, you know, the da'wah, right? Yeah. You're pushing people away, just like in this case. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh man, that's a lot. I mean, there's a lot there. I mean, firstly, when I hear that or see that, you know, subhanAllah, it's about, you know, firstly, advice to the Muslims, we have to be aware and cognizant of the fact of when we do that, if we do that, if we feel that, you know, sometimes we have to ask ourselves, do we do that for self-gratification, like to feel good about our deen? Because when we think of the word izzah and might and the deen of might, being mighty in your religion doesn't necessitate belittling other religions, or let's say belittling other practitioners of those religions. It doesn't necessitate that. It's for you to have integrity of who you are and pride of who you are, but not in the same token, it doesn't mean that you have to belittle others. When you have pride of who you are, you're okay with being in your own skin, that I'm a Muslim, I pray 5 times a day, I'm a Muslima, I wear hijab, I wait to get married, I don't do these things, and I understand the reasoning behind that. When one understands why they do what they do and how that reason of why they do what they do is a manifestation of worship, the more that they learn, and this is a key word, the more that they learn about who their Lord is, this is what brings the salam, the sakina, the waqar, the peace, the tranquility, and the nonchalantness, if you will. Being nonchalant, and I'm a Muslim and I'm totally okay with that. So when someone insults my religion, it's definitely built primarily off of ignorance. You know, we have to understand that people are still ignorant of religion. And the word ignorant is not a word that is I'm using to belittle people.
You just don't know.
Ignorance is you just don't know. And it's okay not to. How many Muslims don't know a lot about their religion?
Yeah.
I mean, starting with myself, there's still stuff. I'm always going to be a learner. You know
but
what
that's,
I'm saying?
That's the key root of the problem, is that people, many Muslims, are ignorant about their deen and they react emotionally.
Exactly.
Would you say
exactly.
that? Exactly.
Yeah, they react emotionally. And you find that, subhanAllah, with a lot of the youth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of the youth, they have that zeal of being a Muslim. But do they understand what it means primarily from who Allah is and who He is not, and how that manifests in your life? And the best way to see the manifestation of that, the best way to see how that's acted out, is in the life of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The way he acted with Muslims, the way he acted with non-Muslims. You know, some of the reasons for these chapters being revealed. You know, so when learning about that and then asking Allah to make us firm in the religion, we don't just go off haphazardly and speak badly to that person. That's the first thing, when looking at self-gratification. Then looking at, okay, are we supposed to tell people about this way of life? If we all agree that we are supposed to do that, how is it beneficial by speaking badly to that person and talking at that person? How are they going to come to the religion? How many times, and you, Eddie, you've probably seen it yourself. I know I've seen it myself. When it's like you have a person that's speaking badly to you, or even, let's not even say in religion, just a family member or something, and you remember that day that they were patient with you. They could have went off on you. They could have done something, and they had the right to, let's just say, but they didn't. You remember years later, man, that person could have been like this to me. That person could have been like that to me. But there was a reason why they weren't. So in this case, Muslims don't have that right to go off on that person or to speak badly to that person, to call them names, right? But what is the benefit if you were to be patient with them and to say, look, they're probably saying that because they're probably going through their phases and they're probably searching. And this is the way that they are showing that they're searching.
Yeah.
You know?
What we usually recommend, I mean, there's an ayah that actually discusses this, where Allah is talking about repelling evil with what is better, right? So what we usually tell people is, you know, especially now when people are commenting on these videos, let's say there's a harsh comment, and then you can tell us what you suggest. We thank people first and foremost.
Exactly. Right?
We thank them for coming to visit our channel. We thank them for being inquisitive. And then we say, unfortunately, you've been misinformed about some things, but we're here to help.
Exactly.
We're here to help. Call us. Let's talk.
That's excellent, man. That's excellent. No, I mean, again, you know, one thing I tell a lot of people nowadays, like what you mentioned, I remember one time we had an outreach program at this masjid, and, you know, we were leading it, and subhanAllah, you saw this girl walk in. She opened the door just enough for her to fit in the door and close the door and stood there. You could tell this is her first time in a mosque. She felt very out of place, you know, and I knew this masjid, the brothers, you know, it was something very not, wasn't normal for them. But there was one brother we knew, we called him the enforcer. He was a brother that security, kids all knew him, messed with him, you know. So he was just standing there looking. I spoke to him. I said, go talk to her. You know, this is why we're here. It's open house. This is for them. You know, so he went over there and he started talking. It was very awkward for them. But this is very important for us as Muslims when talking about outreach. We know that da'wah is obligatory upon us. We know that implementing Islam through our actions is obligatory upon us. There will be those awkward situations. You have to just surpass that. So when I spoke to her, we ended up speaking to her. You know, the first thing I tell a lot of them is, you know, I want to thank you, just like you mentioned, for having enough courage to come to a mosque post 9/11 and ask about Islam amongst Muslims on our grounds, right? Mm-hmm. That takes a lot of courage, especially for women. So you have to, like you said, to make them feel comfortable and thank them for that. Because I know as Muslims, us going to a church, firstly, we would have issues with that. And some of us, if we didn't have issues with that, it would be maybe a cultural relevance issue to where we just say, no, I don't want to go through that struggle.
Yeah.
So we just stay back in our bubble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're almost out of time. Tell us, you specialize in helping. Not only you're a graduate from Medina University, you've been really involved in the da'wah, educating people. You have a website now.
Yes.
It's particular for new Muslims. Tell us about this work and how people can go ahead and find more about it.
No, alhamdulillah, in 2010, I started an organization. Because every summer I would come back from Medina. In Medina, I would see people coming to Islam. Next summer you see where he's at, where she at, you don't know where they're at. So I said there has to be something organized, and particularly from converts for converts, right? Or we say reverts, what have you. That focuses on their social and educational and spiritual development. So that's called New You, KNEW, letter U. And New You is spelled
that's
like
the website?
That's the website, newyou.org, right? www.knewu.org. And it concentrates on knowledge of creator, knowledge of self, and knowledge of purpose. And this is what we call the process of progression.
I like that. Knowledge of creator,
knowledge of self, and knowledge of purpose.
Purpose.
Having knowledge of these three things and being gradual with that and trying to the best of your ability is what will take you out of the realm of being a new Muslim or a convert to where you're just a mashallah Muslim. Mm-hmm. And that's what we all just aspire to be. So that's really what the organization concentrates on. And that's the mission, is to serve as a resource for the social, educational, and spiritual development of new and renewed Muslims worldwide.
Yeah.
So when we say renewed, it's kind of like we say in Christianity, born again. I mean, you know, people they were born Muslim, but they weren't really practicing Islam. They were born, they never really started praying until there was a lecture, there was a friend. And let's be honest, there was a boyfriend or girlfriend in college, and that person converted to Islam and was a catalyst for them to come back to the deen. This is the demographic that we really concentrate on, you know what I'm saying? And having events, social and educational events for them on a consistent basis for them to gradually grow in their religion as a Muslim, we could just say as a good civilian, as a upright human being.
Let's finish it off with you finally accepting Islam, that moment. How was it? What happened? You came in leading up to the Shahada and then taking the Shahada?
Man, it was really, I always told people when I came into Islam, it was like, it was two things. The weight of confusion was off of my shoulders and the smoke was clear. And that's why I said knowledge of purpose, knowledge of self, and knowledge of creator, because knowledge is what will increase you in your relationship to an individual. You know more about that individual, you increase your relationship with, to love them or not like them. So the same case with Allah and Method Allah, and Allah is much higher than an example. When you know more about Allah, it increases your opportunity of getting closer to Him because you know more about Him, you know more about His greatness. So when I became Muslim, it was really around that. I said, man, now I know who I'm really worshiping and how to show that. From dealing with my mother, dealing with my neighbor, dealing with the guy in Walmart, you know, the convenience store, to dealing with my Muslim brothers, you know, that may be racist or that may, you know, not be racist, etc. So when I understood that everything revolves around that, I said, really, the smoke is clear. I know how to live my life. And that was knowledge of purpose. So just having that knowledge made it very, very, very easy for me to have the formula of how to live my life, which is worshiping Allah by himself and trying my level best.
And now you ended up taking Shahada, and here we are now.
Yeah, so, ended up taking Shahada. I'm here with Eddie on the Dean Show, man. And so,
So that's open now for anybody watching. If they're at that, you know, crossroads, they like the pure monotheism, they want to live purpose, and now they're tuning in. What direction, what advice do you give them, right? They've stayed up late, they're watching us, or they got a hold of us, and now they're there. They're almost there.
No, definitely. I mean, SubhanAllah, I was telling Brother Imran, you know, that SubhanAllah, you know, on the website, you can order a free package, and we send it out to you, and it has some contents in there. And, you know, they leave their numbers. So not a day or a week goes by, I talk to someone. You think that everybody would know about it, right? But you find somebody in a city that you've never heard of before. You know, there was a sister, she was a sophomore in high school. She embraced Islam, her and her friend. Masjid is 2 hours away, you know, and they're so thankful just to get a call, you know. Yeah. So those are the ones that, subhanAllah, they really need help. They really need someone just to call them. If you are someone that is converted to Islam and, you know, you may have that friend, firstly, try to find someone that can serve as a friend for you, someone that you can call and you can count on to ask these questions. And if not, you can contact us. We'll do our best to contact you and answer any questions that you have. And if you're someone that's a renewed Muslim, you know, make sure that you're around that environment of people and a social and educational development that can really help you and assist you in growing. And if you're someone that's a seasoned, quote unquote, Muslim, you know, you either have the time, the expertise, or the sufficient elements to help these organizations. So just take it upon yourself to become what we have seminars called convert coaches. We educate those that are seasoned Muslims that know these elements of Islam to go out and serve as a coach to these converts. But just really, in the beginning stages for that, those that embrace Islam, stay strong, keep in contact with someone, preferably that's a Muslim that has education, and keep in contact with them, and put your hands up to Allah. Because the reason that you came into Islam was your heart accepted something, and that feeling that you had, try to get back to that feeling. And the way that you can get back to that feeling primarily is, you know, prostrating and putting your hands up to Allah and to ask Him, because He's the ultimate one that can guide.
Amazing. Beautiful. Thank you so much. I had a pleasure talking with you. Inshallah, we'll have you back soon sometime.
Jazakallah khair, man. May Allah bless you.
Amen. You too.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.